BGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, Irish fans. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today is Mike Brammer. And today we're going to spend about 15 minutes talking about the Big East tournament, Notre Dame's heartbreaking loss, though an encouraging loss to Georgetown, and what that might mean for a seeding in the upcoming NCAA tournament. We'll also talk a little football recruiting, as Charlie Weiss has been busy securing three recruits here in the last week or so. So, Mike, let's get things started here. The Big East tournament for the Irish, I thought, was a pretty good performance, especially considering Notre Dame's history. But really, I thought the team played loose, they played hard, and I think the program gained a certain amount of respect nationally from the win over Syracuse and the close loss to Georgetown.
Yeah, no, I think so. Notre Dame certainly didn't hurt themselves, that's for sure. Disappointing that they didn't win the game after being up, 12, and really, shooting lights out in the first half.
Up, yeah, we were up 14.
Yeah, just draining everything. Little lax the second half. We gave them a bunch of easy buckets down low. That was kind of disappointing. But, you just saw the fight in those kids all the way to the end. I don't see how anybody could look and say, well, they didn't, 4-seed got to the semifinals. I don't know if they're deserving of a 6 or 7 seed.
Let's talk about the game a little bit. Georgetown's strength, obviously. Hey, they're the regular season Big East champs. Their strength was their big guys. And, Hibbert and Ewing, Green, they gave us lots of fits all day long. So the fact that Notre Dame out-rebounded Georgetown, I thought, was pretty darn good. But, yeah, Georgetown had the edge with points in the paint.
Yeah, but in the second half, Georgetown dropped a lot of buckets down on low. So, that negates some of the rebounding. At one point, it looked like they made, 8 straight.
Georgetown shot over 50% for the game, and that's because of the things you're talking about. They got to the rim, and they had a lot of offensive putbacks.
Green just exploded. He played about his best game of the year. 30 points. That hurt in a big way. When you're dropping shots like that. But, down 7 in that kind of environment, and then for us to have a freshman point guard just take over, there are a lot of good things to come out of this. Torrey Jackson.
Well, let's review the game a little bit. Obviously, you mentioned the first half, and getting up 14. I love the quick start. I like how this team plays fearlessly, particularly against an opponent that really hammered us in the regular season in a game which we never got going. And so to come out with no fear and play free and loose, I thought that was great to see.
Yeah, they do. One of the announcers picked up on it. One of the things that Notre Dame does real well is they'll work their fast break, but all of a sudden when they get to the three-point line, they'll just pull up and bury it.
Right.
They're running a fast break. You don't see this except maybe at lunchtime basketball, but somebody brings the court up, ball up the court, and immediately pulls up, feigns a three. That is devastating. And they did it with regularity in the first half. So Notre Dame is, I'll tell you what, anybody looking at this would say, these guys present some problems if we give them open looks.
Well, Notre Dame's tough to defend, no question. As you get out on the shooters on the perimeter, Kurz and Heron Goody can do some damage when Hillsland is in there. He's a guy that can get to the rim, break you down off the dribble as well. And as the four gets spaced, I think we've seen Torrey Jackson really develop into a guy that can take advantage of that. So, first half, offensive execution was great down the last few minutes of the first half. Georgetown turned it up a notch defensively. And then the second half was really a game of back and forth, lots of lead changes, and it never really got out of hand one way or the other until Georgetown went up 7 with just a few minutes to go, 5 minutes to go or so. And, boy, Torrey Jackson, what kind of statement did he make?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I had a lot of people that I talked to after the game, and I think everybody was just amazed at the quickness of that kid. He really has shown something that I thought Chris Thomas was quick as a freshman. Obviously he can get up and down the floor, but, boy, Torrey Jackson has some unbelievable moves.
Torrey Jackson's got as quick a first step as we've seen out of a Notre Dame point guard, I think, since David Rivers.
Yeah, I would agree. He clearly has it. Now, the one thing he doesn't have is the ability to bury that jump shot at the top of the key or at the elbow even.
Well, I think the elbow's his shot. He hits that shot, I think, with some, takes it with some confidence, and he's productive with it, but he doesn't have the three-point game yet.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they'll work on that in the offseason. And even without it, clearly what is going to happen is you're going to see Jackson at the point, and probably McLarney now is going to be the two. Because there's
right.
You just can't have a kid like that that makes that kind of offensive power not in the game. I mean,
McLarney. I mean, and he's going to be able to give Jackson a few minutes, and he'll be able to take the point a little right. bit. But I think basically we're going to see both those guys playing major minutes for the Irish.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I thought in the game that was a little disappointing as well is just that, you know, in the first half we did a real good job of subbing guys in and out. I mean, Zellers gave us some huge minutes, but in the second half we tended to do what we've done in the past, which is just rely on 5-6 guys. And, you know, it's great that Torrey Jackson's able to do 40 minutes, but you can't do that night in and night out. I mean, it's
well, that's right. But and we have not done that during the regular season. But now it's crunch time. It's tournament time. And a shortened bench does not bother me. I mean, do you really think Jonathan Peoples gives us a better chance to win by playing 8 to 10 minutes during the game?
I don't think it's 8 to 10 minutes. I think you, what you do is you spot him before the TV timeouts and so forth, just to give Jackson a little bit more breathing room.
Well,
you know, get 5 minutes out of him. But granted, I mean, in a night like that, I mean, what would have been tough is we win that game. Jackson plays 40 minutes. We got to turn right around 24 hours later, and he's
right.
going to put in another, you know, whatever many minutes we're asking.
Well, listen, again, talking about next year, I think, you know, if Joe Harden develops, Jonathan Harden? I can't remember the kid's name now. He hasn't played any. But the Harden kid as a sophomore maybe comes in and gives McLarney a little spell. Or maybe he allows McLarney to go to point, which gives Jackson a spell. Peoples is going to get better. So I think you're going to see a deeper, better rotation. But, you know, I didn't have any problem with the playing time allocation from last night. I thought a couple keys in the second half, as well as we played, there were some missed free throws, which I thought were really critical. Carter missed 2 free throws late in the game. And when Heron Goody got a rebound off one of those misses, he turned it over, and it turned into an easy Georgetown bucket. Do you remember that point in the game?
Yeah.
That was a 4-point swing,
yeah,
which I thought was really decisive.
But it's hard to argue when you shoot 81% from the line. I mean, they were 18 for 22, so you're going to have some misses. And you can't really argue. It's just those were at critical points. I mean,
they were at critical points. And just the swing, the missed 2 free throws, that's 2 for us. It turns into a turnover and 2 points for them. In an endgame scenario, that was a tough sequence for us to recover from.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
okay, now let's talk about the very end sequence. As Jackson ties the game at 82, with 42 seconds to go with another great move. Now Georgetown comes down, and they hit the game winner with 14 seconds to go. Any thoughts on the Irish and how we played defense there? We came out in zone, then went into man, and Green took Heron Goody into the lane. Your thoughts, any of that?
Well, I didn't think it was a foul at all.
I didn't either.
That's horrible. I mean, that was just horrible. It didn't really matter. But the point of the matter is I was surprised we didn't collapse down. I mean, here's a guy that had 28 points up to that point. You know they're going to go to him. I mean, get him to kick it out and make them bury something deep, you know. But,
well, the help came a little late. I think a three there is.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like we were, you know, we were content to just let him go one-on-one with Heron Goody.
Well, I think we didn't want to give up a three. I'm speculating, of course, but a three there kills you, and I think the reason we go man there is to not give him a three, because that puts you in a real bind down the other end if they knock down a three. That's what I think was going on there. The help came late, but, you know, Heron Goody played good defense, and Green hit.
Yeah,
the ball just trickled in.
No, it was a tough shot. It went in. Again, it wasn't a foul. I mean, that hurt. But, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. It was a lot of that going on in the second half. Them catching the ball way too low. I mean, he got that ball well down to the block.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that makes it tough on Heron Goody. I mean, you know, it's But I mean,
what'd you think of our look down the other end, Carter?
Yeah, no, I think I was. I tell you, watching it live, I thought, "Oh God, he just walked." But then after,
I thought so too. Yeah.
But watching the replay, he actually didn't. So it was. I thought it was a good call on the refs to just let that go. Now he had a wide open three. I was totally anticipating that going in.
I don't know why,
but I thought that was good for sure. But it did kind of look like you know, Russell was almost too relaxed. You know, he just. kind of slowly took it up there and was like, all right, I got this. But
well, you know, it was a great look. He had wide open three.
Yeah, he did exactly what he should have done. I mean, it was a wide open three. I mean, that's what you want.
I had no problem with taking the three. I had no problem with Carter being the guy to take it. That was a – I thought the end game scenario came down about as good as you would have wanted it, and the shot didn't go in, so I don't have a problem with
that. Yeah, contrary to the last 2 years, I mean, it's been us just letting whoever our point – guard is take it to the hole and try and make something happen, and this time it looked like we Falls was there, but you knew they weren't going to let him pull the trigger. So
right.
I have no problem whatsoever with Carter taking that wide open a look of a three. I mean,
heck, that was as good a shot as Carter. I mean, he put up a lot of questionable shots. That was, given how many shots he took last night and the questionable nature of them, that was a pretty good shot that Carter took.
One of his better looks. Yeah.
It was. So you can't complain too much about that. Overall, I thought the officiating was evenly bad going both ways.
I thought they let a lot of stuff go
and called some ticky-tack stuff.
Yeah, they let Hibbert go with – Hibbert could have fouled out 10 minutes earlier. I mean, I thought they let him go a couple times. The guy's so big, it's tough, but
yeah.
I don't know. It seems like the Big East really let a lot of banging go on this year. I mean,
Big East is always physical, so.
Yeah, they are physical, but there's been two occasions where I saw guys going in for a layup that got put on their backs and there were no calls. You know, Kerrs at a game at home against Marquette. You know,
right.
Put flat on his back and there's just no call. I mean,
that's
the strange stuff. But yeah, I mean, last night it was kind of bad on both sides. I don't know that had anything to do with the game at all.
Okay, so now we head into the NCAA. Irish are obviously solidly in the field. The only question now is where are we going, who are we playing, and what seed we're going to be. And at this point, I think we're easily a 5, maybe a 4.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that. It wouldn't surprise me if we end up a 6 or a 7.
I think 7 would be a real injustice.
It could.
6 would tick me off a little bit. Wouldn't shock me, but 7 would shock
me. Yeah, I think a 5 is probably the right one. I mean, if you really want to justify it, I would say we should be a 5 seed. But, you know, it depends on what happens. I mean, I don't know if there's any upsets lurking. I mean, NC State would be one if they end up winning the ACC. Arkansas could pull off the SEC. I mean, it's going to all depend on what happens in some of these bids that get locked.
Well, I don't – how do any of those things affect our seed?
It eliminates the at-large bids of who gets – whether it affects our seeding or not, yeah, I'm probably not.
It doesn't, and that's all I'm talking about here is our seeding and where that – we're not on the bubble. We don't have to worry about conference.
No, not about the at-large bids, but it's just a matter of, I think everybody evaluates, all right, how did this team play? How did they play down the stretch? What are they deserving of? And it seems like seeding goes to whoever wins games toward the end.
Well, our stock is.
Yeah, you can't argue with what we did. That's for sure.
That won't hurt our seeding at all. That's why I think we have a shot at a 4. But I'm expecting a 5. I think we have a shot at a 4. And from that standpoint, the 4-13 game is, generally the 4s win those game about 80% of the time since the tournament went to 64 teams. And we all know that 5-12, when you're filling out your office pool, that 5-12 is one that you see a lot of upsets in.
Right. Like half and half. I mean, that's a 50% game.
7% of the time the 5 wins, but that's compared to 80% of the time the 4 wins. So that's a pretty big drop-off. But honestly, I think in this year's tournament, I think there's a lot of depth and parity, and I don't really think there's that much difference between being a 4 or a 5 or a 6 in this year's field. I think there's a lot of depth and parity, so I'm not sure the seeding's that significant. You're going to play, assuming no upsets in the first round, you're going to play a good second-round game. And you're going to have to beat somebody good if you want to go to the Sweet 16. That's what it comes down to. So
yeah, Notre Dame's proven that. I mean, they've really won some big games this year that they had to win. And, unlike last year's, we have not been sitting here saying, geez, that was an ugly loss. Why can't we seem to pull any of these out?
Right.
This year's team pulled out a lot of games. You got to have real good hopes going into the NCAA tournament with the way we've been playing.
I agree. I mean, the Georgetown game shows that Georgetown is as good as anybody in the country.